Good morning, friends. It is the first Sunday in the season of Advent and a new season in our church year. Will you join in our call to worship? The Advent journey has begun. We walk a path of watching and waiting. Let us come before God with humility and love.
Christ, the Anointed One, shows us the path of hope and peace.
We shall walk humbly before our God.
We shall serve one another with gladness.
We turn to our friends and neighbors and community, offering the peace of Christ. This is a simple greeting. Peace be with you, and the response, and also with you.
Today, we light a candle of hope. This is the hope we search for. Hope is found in times of a new beginning. Hope found in the time of getting ready. Hope found in a time for thinking things over. This is the candle of hope, hope for which we search. In its glow, the powerless, the downhearted, and the poor will take courage.
A warm welcome to you. My name is Reverend Ruth Noble, and I'm here with my colleagues, the Reverend Dr. Kristen Phillipson, who is leading our Sunday school today, Dr. Sarah Svensson, and our Director of Music, and the choir. Emma Phillipson is our nursery leader today. If you are here with children, you need to get up prior to the children going to nursery or Sunday school, there is an area at the back for coloring in books, and Emma is at the back there with some children right now. Following worship, you are invited to a time of coffee and tea and conversation just through this door. Rosedale United is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. We are an affirming congregation represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. And so please take note of some of the events that activities that are listed in our bulletin. And you can sign up at coffee time today for the Women's Advent by Candlelight service that is happening this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Donations collected at this event go to provide gift cards for the Christmas gift bag for the Dixon Hall and Meals on Wheels. And a special request from Judy Lalonde that if you have some Christmas cards that you don't want anymore, that you've sent out your Christmas cards and you're tired of that set, please donate them to Judy and she will use them with the gift cards this year. On December 12th, we gather here for our Christmas sing-along, accompanied by the RUC choir, and they were practicing this morning what they're going to be performing on the 12th, and it is awesome. So be here at 7:30 on December 12th. It's going to be the choir, Sarah's performing, yep, and the Metropolitan Silver Band. And there are posters. Sarah is holding up posters. So if you'd like to take a poster and put it up in your building, put it up in Summer Hill Market, let's blanket Rosedale with these posters so that we can have a full house for this, which is what becoming an annual event. We had one last year, and it was a lot of fun, so we decided to do it again this year. So this event is Pay What You Can with proceeds to go to the food bank. And December 21st, at 5:30, we're holding our Tidings of Comfort service for all who are living with grief and processing loss. Last Saturday, Holly Berry Fair happened here, and the book sale continues upstairs in Clark Hall, so you can go after worship and buy a book or two or three or ten. And if you have to run off to lunch, you can come on Wednesday afternoons in December from 1:30 to 3:30 and buy your books then. As we gather and worship, we acknowledge this sacred land. It's been a site of human activity for over 15,000 years. It is the territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nation, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugi of the Credit River. And we are grateful for the opportunity to gather on this territory. So let us now take a moment on this first Sunday of Advent, the new church year, to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Let us pray. Open our eyes, Lord, especially when they are half shut, because we are tired of looking at the despair and division in our world, or half open because we fear we see too much conflict and destruction, or clouded with tears because yesterday, today, and tomorrow are filled with the same pain and conflicts. Clear our eyes when we only look at what we want to see, looking away when it becomes too much. Open our eyes, Lord, to gently scan the life we lead, the home we have, and the world we inhabit. Help us to find among the flaws of life and grayness of our world signs of hope we can hold on to and encourage one another. Give our dim eyes a bigger vision of what we can do even when hopeless cases and lost causes. Brighten our eyes to see what we can offer to a world in pain. We live in a world of paradoxes, riddled with debt and doubt, and yet filled with possibility and redemption. Open our eyes to see the possibilities where we may even be for a moment prophetic to the potential in the waiting. Open our eyes to the yearning for Jesus in the city streets and corridors of power, to help, to heal, to confront systems that oppress. Open our eyes, and when we look away, open our eyes to hope and healing. Amen. And so you were given a star ornament when you came in with your bulletin and a pencil. So we invite you now to write on that ornament, and later on during the service, during communion, you can come up and put it on one of the trees. So today, what are you waiting for personally and in our world? And what helps you wait in hope? And as we write, our children go to Sunday school as Sarah plays.
Thank you. O wisdom, you came forth from the mouth of the Most High. You reach mightily from one end of the earth to the other and order all things well.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 to 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the witness of the Hebrew Scriptures.
We are the clay, and you are our potter. In his memoirs called Making It So, actor Patrick Stewart shares a story about his love of pottery, of creating pottery. He says, "I love taking the clay, working it until it's malleable, slapping it on the wheel, and using my hands to create something beautiful. Sometimes things go wrong, and you work the clay and start all over again." Advent is a time of starting all over again. We have entered a new church year. Drew Downs shares these thoughts. Advent marks the beginning of a new liturgical year. It is rooted in tradition, with practices geared towards watching, anticipating, waiting, and hoping. These themes or practices are predictable, returning each year to orient and remind us. They provoke and inspire us while mimicking the season we feel around us. The great anticipation of Christmas. This mirrors the anticipation we engage in through Advent. The irony, of course, is that this is the practice for change. To remember the transformation of the world through the incarnate word and the transformation that will come to us in his return. In short, this is the season of change. This passage from Isaiah is all about change. Isaiah encourages God that the people of God have changed, have moved from ignoring God to becoming faithful people, united in following the path of faith, ready to be molded into something new. Isaiah encourages God to wait on the people, to wait for transformation, for the clay of the people of faith to be formed and shaped into something beautiful, something that reflects God's hope for the world. We are the clay, you are our potter. Like Patrick Stewart, I too love working with clay, taking a lump and working it into something beautiful. something engaging, something transformative. But more times than I care to count, the lump of clay needs to be reworked as whatever I'm creating falls apart. Much like people, we too need to be reworked when we fall apart. And this is what the passage from Isaiah is all about. Our relationship with God and with each other, working and reworking, growing and changing, being open to new possibilities beyond our imagination. Isaiah knows this and prays for us, all of us, past and present. And God answers that prayer in the promise of the coming of the Christ child. And we are moved and stretched, and we will wait for God's response. Amen. And now let us join in O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and the words are printed in your bulletin.
O Lord and leader of the house of Israel, you appeared to Moses in the fire of the blazing bush and gave him the law on Mount Sinai.
A reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Is like a man going on a journey When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the witness of the early church. Thanks be to God.
This scripture represents the second half of the single longest speech by Jesus in the Gospels. This passage is part of a section of the Gospel of Mark known as the Little Apocalypse. It's an uncharacteristically apocalyptic teaching from Jesus, and it comes right after him leaving the temple during his last week on earth. These days, when we think of the apocalypse, we think of a zombie attack or a cataclysmic disaster. But in biblical times, the meaning of apocalypse is revelation and that which is uncovered. It comes from the Greek word that literally means pull the lid off something. When Mark wrote his gospel, the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. He wrote it in 70 CE or AD, during the time of the first Jewish-Roman war. So this is the same temple that Jesus knew. This is the site of the Temple Mount and the Wailing Wall of today. Mark uses the voice of Jesus to warn those around him about the destruction and about what happens when you oppose the Romans. Now, you may be wondering why this reading has been chosen for the start of Advent. Why are we reading an apocalyptic speech on the first Sunday of Advent? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. We're reading this passage because Advent is a time of new beginnings, and with new beginnings comes an end time. And so we are in an end time for this, for whatever this is, whatever God has in store for this end in our world. Whatever hoped for end, such as an end to the Israel-Hamas conflict, or if it's a more personal to the city, such as an end to the housing crisis, or more personal to our church community, or even to ourselves. Within these end times, it is what is being revealed is something different, something new, something that is a reminder of what we are really in the middle of, world-changing grace. And the fact that that grace is that God has different ideas of what is good for the world than we live in. This was the case when Mark wrote his gospel, and it's the case for today. So I want to leave you with this thought from David Schnasnes Jacobson. Jesus speaks to a church whose desire for justice, sense of identity, and very future seems fragile and unfinished. We may just benefit, even in situations of relative and differentiated privilege, to overhear the kinds of promises that allowed them to live forward amid the fragments and ruins, to watch for the new thing God is doing in Advent. May it be so. Amen. Let us join our voices in singing Voices United, number 5, All Earth is Waiting. As we come to this table, we are reminded that this is the table of Jesus Christ, a banquet prepared for everyone, all who seek to be nourished and sustained in the journey of faith, all who seek wholeness and compassionate paths to peace and justice are welcomed here. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. Blessed are you, breath of peace, giver of all life.
Source of love that knows no boundaries. Your song of wisdom rang out before the world began. Throughout the ages, your song of liberation has impregnated us with your hope for a world where those considered last and least are first and most. Violence is overcome by the power of your ancient love, and all siblings work together for peace. You bring our longings to birth and send prophets to awaken us to your approaching advent among us.
We thank you for those who, like Mary, have the strength and courage to give birth to your love in the world. For those who, like the shepherds, dare to seek out the child of Bethlehem. For those who, like the wise ones, actively challenge violent and oppressive powers. We praise you that your everlasting light is shown to us in womb and tomb, in cradle and cross, in tenderness and compassion. And we join in the Advent prayer of all the people. O come, Emmanuel.
And as we wait and watch for your goodness coming among us, we proclaim your goodness. At this time, we also remember all with whom you would have us share your feast. We pray for all who are in sorrow or in pain, all who are ill or alone, all who are close to our hearts, all our sisters who live with fear, oppression, or hunger, all our brothers who have been blighted by violence, racism, or poverty, for whom the world counts as last and least. We pray for the church and its many ministries, for nations as they strive for peace and justice, for an end to violence against women. God of hope, make this bread the means of our rebuilding, this wine the medium of our transformation, this table the foundation of our renewal, and this community the place of our rebirth. Amen.
At this time, we remember Jesus, who on the night before he died, took a loaf of bread, gave you thanks, broke it, and said, "Take, eat. Whenever you do this, remember me."
Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant. Remember me." Gracious God, breath of peace, source of love, we pray for your spirit. Make us, while many, one. Make us, though broken, whole. Make us, despite death, alive. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come.
And so we join with our siblings around the world praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The body of Christ, the bread of life.
The lifeblood of Christ, the cup of blessing. Let us eat and drink together for our strengthening in the faith and for the sake of the world. Come, for all is now ready. You're also invited, as you come to take part in communion, to hang your ornament on the tree. And at this time, if you feel moved to make an offering to the life and work of the church, you may do so as well. And our box is at the back. All is ready, and the table is open.
Let us join together in prayer after communion. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for breaking into our world and pouring into our lives and our experiences. We thank you, God, for this meal of thanksgiving and the stories of love and grace and hope that it tells. Amen. And our closing hymn is hymn number 25, and your voices united, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending." Begun. We are now in the season of waiting and anticipating. We go in hope. We go ready to be transformed in grace. And I'm going to invite Sarah to teach us our sung blessing, because it's a new one to us. So choir's going to sing it first, and then everyone second. So we'll sing it twice.